fellas.
Am I on here? Oh, you guys can't hear me. All right. So we're going to continue tonight. I'm going to hurry through so we don't go too long into the evening. But we're going to look at what the call of duty, we're going to continue to look at that call of duty of what godly men should look like. And so we started the night out with how we can show strength by living our lives in God's grace. And we're going to look at a few more aspects that can attest to how we can live out that call, to how we can live that call that God has in our lives. And what we're going to focus on for the next 30 minutes, as well as the group discussion and the questions that you guys are going to answer after this in your breakouts, is how we can focus on being committed into building into others. How can we commit to building and encouraging others? And so there's a couple of aspects that we can look at tonight. And one is how we build into one another. And then we're also going to look at how we can build into our family, how we can be spiritual leaders to our family. And so it's one thing to build up guys. It's one thing to have fellowship with men like this. And it's great, but it's another thing to lead your family. It's another thing to walk in God's character and show how to live. Okay? So the passage from Scripture that we've set the focal point on for this conference is from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this message, this commitment, is based off of verse 2, which says, "In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." The key word here is commit. We cannot just expect that this call of duty is naturally going to come. We can't think that we're not going to have a role in it. We have to make a choice. We have to commit to pouring into others. And so we as followers of Christ, we get to make that commitment to serve him every single day. We get to make that choice to follow him, to walk with others. And so tonight we're going to look at the practical side of that. We can easily say that we're going to make that commitment. We can say we're going to do all the right things, but it's how do we do it? And so there's two passages we're going to look at tonight that I think are going to help give us guidance and direction in that. So the first one, if you guys could turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And while you guys do that, I'm going to open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just are so thankful that, Lord, we could come together as men and, Lord, just continue to look at how you grow us. That, God, we can put our trust and dependence in you, that we can commit to building up others onto you, God, that we can sit in your grace and mercy and know that, Lord, we can take bold steps in our sanctification with you, God. So, Lord, I just continue to pray for these men in this conference, Lord, that each one of these messages, each one of these breakouts, each one of the conversations they're going to have are truly a blessing. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Verse 2 is so powerful, right? We know the Lord will come whenever he wants. And so what do we have to do? We have to be ready in and out of season. We have to be ready. That starts with our character. It starts with how we act on a daily basis, how we make a commitment to the Lord. Also goes to how we treat others. You have to ask yourself that question of, do you treat others the same here in this building as you would outside? And accepting that call to build others up in their faith, to encourage others, to edify others, it doesn't make it so we're ready just in and out of season. It makes it ready so that we are able to pour into others every day. And we see in verse 3, Paul continues his encouragement. He says, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." When we talk about fear, this is where it can come. There are times in our lives where it seems that things are just not going our way. And the enemy likes to take a hold of that. The enemy likes to isolate us in the midst of something going wrong to make it seem like we're the only one who's going through this. Nobody can understand the brevity of what I'm going through right now. I am alone. The enemy wants to make that known. But that's not what God is saying. We get to step into someone's life in the midst of something like that. We get to encourage them. We get to make that commitment to walk with them no matter what. Why? Because that's what God does for us. We get to mirror that to one another. Part of being committed and building one another up is that we don't leave when the chips are down. It's not discipleship and mentorship and encouragement doesn't just happen when things are going well. Happens all the time. No matter what is going on, we can be there for each other. And when we have someone like that in our lives, it truly does mean the world of difference. When we have someone we can call, we have someone that can stop their day and pray with us, it can mean the world of difference even in the hardest of moments. And you guys know me, you know that I'm gonna have to relate something to sports, right? Because I'm a huge sports nut. And I wanna talk about one of my favorite players of all time, okay? I grew up playing hockey. I've played hockey since I was 5 years old. I grew up in Denver playing hockey. And in 1995, we were blessed with a pro hockey team. Okay? So I'm 2 years into playing hockey at this point, and I get to watch the Avalanche win the Stanley Cup, and my favorite player was the captain of that team. And he still is my favorite player to this day, Joe Sakic. Now, I know it's a homer call because I'm a native Coloradoan, but I love Joe Sakic. Joe Sakic was one of the most selfless players in all of hockey. And it's not just because of how good he was, it was because of the sacrifice he was willing to make for his team. Joe Sakic played 1,378 games in the NHL. He had 1,641 points. And of that, 625 of them were goals, which means that Joe Sakic had 1,016 career assists. He assisted others in scoring. Now, he did bring us 2 Stanley Cups, which is awesome, but the reason that he's my favorite player is not simply because of what he did on the ice. It's because of his character off the ice. And I have a really cool experience with Joe Sakic that I used to coach 10 to 11 year peewee hockey, which if any of you coach hockey or play hockey, 10 to 11 year hockey is controlled chaos. But I used to coach my nephews up in Denver, and lo and behold, one of the youth teams, Joe Sakic was coaching one of the youth teams that we played against. And this is before he became the general manager of the Avs and all this stuff, right? So he's coaching this youth team, and we play against him, which I'm already geeking out because I'm like, I'm playing against my favorite player of all time. This is awesome. So the game ends, and we always shake hands on the ice, so then I get to shake Joe Sakic's hand, which then makes me geek out even more. And he stops the coaches. There's 3 of us on the ice, and he stops us, and he says, "Hey, what are you guys doing after the game?" And I'm like, "Oh, whatever you want, sir." He goes, "No, I want you guys to take your kids over to Dairy Queen after the game and ice cream's on me. He bought both hockey teams ice cream after the game. And he didn't do it for himself. He didn't do it for just getting the recognition of, look at what I'm doing. He didn't have media following him around, anything like that. He did it because he wanted to pour into the kids. He wanted them to fall in love with hockey. And as I was preparing this message, as I was preparing this lesson, this story popped into my head because I remember that moment when I had Joe Sakic say, bring your kids over to Dairy Queen. It made me want to pour into kids just as much. Having someone do that in my life as an example made me just hungry to do that myself. And that's what we get to do when we commit to building one another up. When we commit to walk in with one another, is that we get to meet someone right where they're at. We get to walk with them. But then we get to encourage them. We get to see those moments where maybe they start walking with somebody. They start doing the same thing that you did to them. It's huge. And it doesn't matter what those moments are. It could be meeting them for coffee. It could be having lunch. It could be helping them move out of their house. It could simply be, hey, I hope you're doing okay. I'm praying for you. We never know when the smallest of moments is going to mean the biggest of things for someone else. Paul knew this. He wrote this over and over and over again. He lived it. We jump down a little bit into verse 9. He says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace amongst yourselves. If there's someone who's taken those steps to disciple and mentor, it's Paul, right? He's done it with Timothy. That's a prime example of Paul's ministry, is how much he's poured into Timothy. But he poured into him in a way that edified him and built up Timothy, so Timothy had the confidence to do the same exact thing. That Timothy could share the gospel. Paul walked with him. He guided him. He directed him. I'm sure he laughed with him, and I'm sure he cried with him. But it comes with a commitment. It's not a one-stop shop. It's not a one-time only, like, hey, I prayed with that guy one time. I'm really going to pour into him. It's a commitment to walk steadfastly with the other person. And you may be here tonight wondering what the Lord may have for you. A few years ago, we were at a Calvary conference up in Castle Rock, and the pastor, Dave Love, there was talking to us all, and he was talking about this topic, and he's talking about who is your Timothy. He's preaching this to a bunch of pastors. Who is your Timothy? Now, at this point, I'm maybe less than a year into being a pastor, so I thought the exact opposite of what Dave was thinking, and I said, who is my Paul? Who is my Paul? Who can I look to for guidance and direction and mentorship? Who can I seek out to help me grow? And God did that. He put people in my life that helped edify me and grow me. People that I never would have thought would have taken that time, but they did. People like Joshua Siskowski, Dan Hooker, Robert Beach, Rich Bailey. These guys didn't have to take time with me, but they did. They made the commitment because they saw what the Lord was doing with me. And it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. There were tears. There's accountability to it. But I can still look to them. That mentorship and discipleship, when you have someone that's a Paul to you, never ends. It always continues. And now, almost 5 years later, I'm in that moment of, who's my Timothy? Who do I get to turn that to and pour into and help grow? And I do it with confidence because I know there's others who have shown me how to do it the Lord's way. But when we care for somebody, when we walk with somebody, it's not because we're doing it to check the box. It's not we're doing it because somebody told me I had to mentor them. It's because we genuinely care about their growth. That's true discipleship. Genuine care. And tonight, we have that call, right? We have that opportunity to reflect on what our commitment is to others. You may be here and you may be in that moment where you're like, who is my Timothy? You may be here and saying, who is my Paul? But the call is to commit, to seek someone out that you can either grow from or that you can pour into. It's much harder when we try to walk alone. But when we can build one another up, it's everything. We see Paul continuing in now verse 14. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both yourselves and for all. This commitment, this challenge that we're making to you at this conference this weekend can make you uncomfortable. Discipleship can be hard. To tell someone that they need to course correct, to tell someone they need to seek the Lord can be a hard conversation, but can also turn into a testimony. When we walk in the difficult things and we do it in a confidence that God's gonna do everything, makes it so much easier, right? And through that, we show our faith. We show our hope in a sovereign God who can control everything. When we encourage one another, we build another up, it makes us more confident to take those steps of boldness. I was talking to somebody earlier this week and they were telling me about a difficulty they were having at work that their work did this pride event in their office and they had decorations and everything like that. And this person just didn't agree with it. And so what they did was they put Bible verses in their cubicle and stood up for their faith. And now they feel like they're kind of being shunned at work, like things aren't going as well. And they were very concerned about this. And when I got to sit with them and talk with them about it, I got to tell them how encouraging they could have been to someone in that room. Because while this pride event was going on and everything was happening, somebody may have been afraid to stand up. And I told this person that I can guarantee you that not everybody in that room agreed with what was happening, but there was fear. But when we stand boldly and we make that commitment to stand for the truth, others are watching and others are paying attention to that. He's building people up by standing up for what is right. We get to do that, men. We get to walk in that day by day. And so how do we do that? Paul ends it here with rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. How do we encourage one another? It's right here. Encourage them to rejoice always, to praise and worship the Lord. Encourage them to find joy in knowing that God works in every situation. When things get difficult, let's go to prayer. Let's give it to Him. We commit to standing with one another, and that means being there for the hardships just as much as the celebrations. That through that encouragement, we leave room for the Spirit to work in each and every one of us. It's not us, it's Him. And we look for what God is telling us. We do it with an eagerness, with a willingness, and with a humbleness. We test them by bringing everything back to the Scripture, because that's what we can do. We hold fast to the Word of God. All of this leads to the last one, abstaining from every form of evil. When we live through this, it makes it so much easier to walk in the light of Christ. When we encourage someone through this, it's a guiding path of how we can build others up to focus on their relationship with the Father. This is why we build one another up. This is what we are called to do. And it's not just for us to build each other up here in this room. It's not just for men to build up men. It's for us to lead spiritually for our families as well. When we walk how God calls us to in 1 Thessalonians, we show how we are to be with our families. We show how our kids are supposed to love Christ as well. And that's the greatest encouragement we can give. I love when we do these conferences and retreats and I see fathers and sons come together. I love it. It's awesome because dads are leading their sons to walk with the Lord. Our family is our first ministry, guys. Those are the ones we want to pour into the most. One of the best ways is we can lead by example. In a military sense, do we want that general who's behind the line dictating all these orders and telling everybody to do stuff? Or do we want that leader who's out in front leading by example? That's what we get to do as fathers. That's what we get to do as husbands. We get to make that choice. And I'll say this, I never have an expectation of my wife or my kids that I am not willing to do myself. Because I want to show them how to walk. And that leads to the second part of Scripture. It's Philippians chapter 2. This is a cornerstone verse in my family's household. We use this almost every single day. It's verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Building others up is not telling them everything. It's not speaking it. It's living it out and serving them. It's how we serve our families. It's that I'm putting my family's concerns, worries, anything like that, I'm putting that in front of my own. That's how we can commit. It's not serving them to check a box, but it's serving them because we truly care about them. As we break up into groups, I want to leave you this question. Now, I want you to think about your kids, specifically if you have a daughter. Now, if you don't have kids, you can imagine this scenario in your head, but think about this. Your daughter is old enough to date, and she brings home a boy to come meet you. Now, fellas, put your shotguns down. Stop cleaning them really fast, okay? But think about this, okay? Your daughter brings home this boy to meet you and says, I want to marry this man. And that man is you right here, right now. Would you say yes? Would you want your daughter to marry you? And I hope that it's a yes. I hope it's a resounding yes, that he is going to lead spiritually, that he is going to guide her, that he's going to protect her. I pray that it's a yes. But if it's a no, why is it a no? What's it going to take to become a yes? What's that commitment going to look like to be a yes? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for encouragement like this, Lord, that we can accept that call, that commitment that you're giving us, Lord, that you can guide and direct us, that, Lord, you can encourage us, and, Lord, that we can pour into others. That, Lord, that we can think about those moments of who is my Paul? Who is my Timothy? How can I take that step of confidence to lean into someone? How can I take that step to be a leader of my family? Lord, I pray for strength and commitment in this, God, that, Lord, we can take these discussion questions, we can take this conference, Lord, and not live in fear, but live in confidence of who you are. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, we are going to break into small groups. I believe we're going to start worship at 8:30. So you guys have about 30 minutes to do discussion groups, and we're going to close in a song of worship. So questions are going to be up here again, kind of same thing as before, guys, where you guys will have your groups. You can spread out as you need to. Somebody have, I think Fritz and the guys back there have questions for you if you're leaving the room. So thanks, guys.